to improve your life, you know, of course there's formulas that you can follow, but if you don't have that aspect of being in touch with your individual spirituality, whatever it is, and it doesn't mean religious, you know, spirituality and religion, not the same thing. So if you're not a religious person, then that's completely fine. But if you don't have that sense of like connectedness to the world, the universe, you know, your community or nature, you know, in some sort of spiritual way, I feel like it's hard to really heal if you don't have that little piece.
Hi, and welcome to the EndoBabe podcast. I'm your host, Chelsea Bree. I'm an ultrasound tech, endometriosis advocate and author, self-love and wellness junkie, and I'm on a mission to help you thrive with endometriosis and improve your quality of life. On the EndoBabe podcast, you'll hear empowering conversations with myself and experts as we dive deep into all things endometriosis, mindset, brain training, holistic healing, functional medicine, spirituality, self-love, and so much more. This is a badass podcast for badass babes, and I want you to leave this podcast feeling inspired and empowered in your own health journey with the confidence and belief that you too can have more good days than bad. Are you with me, babe? See you in the podcast. Hello, my beautiful soul. This episode is brought to you by The Crystal Aesthetic. I created this company in 2022 for you, for me, and for anyone who seeks depth and meaning, believes in the unknown, and knows there's more to life than meets the eye. This company was inspired by magic and everything that I love and believe in: the universe, the journey, cosmic cowgirls, country rock, and wild witchy women. As a woman-owned lifestyle brand, we're dedicated to helping you feel comfortable in your skin and raising awareness about endometriosis and empowering you to love yourself even on the hard days. Just like you, our items are full of magic and created with the intention of bringing comfort and style, whether you're snuggled up on the couch, exploring in nature, or hitting the town. Proceeds from this company are going to be donated to help support this podcast and making it free, and donated to support endometriosis research. Let's hear it for small enchanted spoony businesses, and I hope you find something magical that you love. Hi, Jordan. Welcome. I'm so happy you're here.
Hello. I'm happy too. Yay. My second time on.
I know. For everybody that doesn't know, Jordan is my beautiful, wonderful podcast manager. She is the queen behind all the back end stuff of the podcast. She's also an endo warrior and a dear friend.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm excited to have you on.
Yeah, me too.
How have you been feeling? How are you?
I've been good. We were just talking before you hit record about it being just, it was kind of a fast year.
Yeah.
A lot happened, but it was just like a whirlwind. This month has been, for me, it's been like a lot of reflecting. I've definitely had some like winter blues going on, you know? I think that's kind of as a collective too. I feel like I see it in a lot of people around me, and which is not bad. I think there's like the pressure for the holidays to feel magical and amazing and wonderful all the time. And for a lot of people, it's difficult, you know, it can be difficult or bittersweet, you know, the good with the bad. So that's where I'm at right now. I'm just moving through it. So yeah, but I'm good in general. I'm good.
I agree with you. I feel like a lot of people this year are coming out of like pandemic blues, maybe. Because every single person that I talk to is either they're not really prepared for the holiday and they're like, I don't know what's going on. Usually, like, I'm so ready for this time of year and it just came up so fast and this year was crazy and I feel crazy.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. I don't know if it's like our age where we're at too, right? 30s, it's just like things are so different in your 30s and your 20s.
Yeah.
And you just do more introspection. Mm-hmm. And so you slow down more, I guess, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Feel things a little bit more. And we're still processing the pandemic too, aren't we? Like it's it's crazy. Everything feels like, especially when I'm talking to people, like meeting new people now, it's like you talk about, this is what I did or who I was before COVID. This is what I do now. This is how it's going now. It's like almost like life is kind of split in between the two.
Yeah, like who we are and who we were.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so just a lot of processing, I guess. Change, you know?
I know. Well, and change that none of us really expected or wanted to, and like add that on top of like managing chronic illness. And I know for myself, at least, these last 2 years, we moved, my mother passed away, my grandma passed away, we bought a house, we sold a house, we have just done so many crazy things in such a short amount of time. It's kind of felt like it's just been like go, 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 and like living underwater a little bit, just like not really processing anything. And it's so easy to talk about it. And I mean, I used to teach about it all the time, like the importance of your mental health. But when you're like going through this shit, it's so hard to actually like take that time away. Or even like something I experienced was like I was still trying to do the things and it just wasn't really enough for the amount of shit that I was going through, you know?
Yeah, I remember you telling me that your therapist was like, no, you're doing a great job, and you just felt like you weren't, but it's just because it's fucking hard. It's hard, even when you're doing all the things and you're taking care, quote unquote, you know, taking care of yourself, doing what you should be doing. Like, yeah, it's still hard. Yeah, quote unquote should. It's still hard. I was on the FaceTime with Julie earlier, another endo warrior, and my sister, who's 18, she came into the room and she was like about to bake cookies. She's like standing in the kitchen about to bake cookies. And I was like, she just had this look on her face. I was like, oh, are you okay? You know, I just looked up from a FaceTime. Are you okay? And she just like starts bawling. You know, one of those things where someone, all they have to do is ask you if you're okay. So then me and Julie just gave her like a pep talk. She just like cried for a while. But she was like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I don't know. But I'm like, what do you mean? You're doing what you're supposed to do right now by just processing and being upset and crying just because it's holiday time or close to Christmas time, where you feel like you can be grateful and grieving at the same time, or grateful and sick at the same time, you know, grateful and in pain. Like the duality of it is strange, but it's just, that's how it is.
Yeah.
And that's what I was telling her. Well, you're doing what you're supposed to be doing right now. You're crying. It's okay. Just go ahead.
Yeah, let it out.
Let it out. Yeah.
And I feel like there's such a need in with women in general, right? Like we feel like we need to be doing all of these things. And if we stop and lay down and relax or feel our feelings or tell anybody that we're not okay, then that's a big no-no. You know, like how can we be vulnerable and still have it all together at the same time? It's really hard to juggle that duality.
Yeah, that's definitely a societal thing. I feel that a lot. And I think it's getting better, you know, with each generation, but it's still, you know, if my Gen Z sister is still feeling it, then it's like, it's hard because we live in a society that praises that mentality of like not slowing down, not really taking care of yourself, you know, the hustle culture, like working all the time, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, all of that, which, you know, destroys your physical and mental health. And then I feel like the older generation is like, we never have these problems. I'm like, well, you did. It's just that no one talked about them. And also you just sort of dumped it all on us as well.
Yeah.
So even though it's more widely talked about and it's like there's less of a stigma with it, society is just almost the same. You know, it's like it's better, of course, but I feel like it's almost the same, because you're right, where women especially are looked down upon if they show too much emotion or express that they're in pain or express that they're not doing okay.
Yeah.
They're overwhelmed. They don't want to do a million things at one time. They need a break.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny. I keep seeing all of this because you just said there's more awareness for it now. And there is. There's more awareness of like us feeling our feelings and us naming our feelings and knowing what those feelings in our body are. And it was, I don't know. I keep seeing people on TikTok being like, well, yeah, we went through all of these things as millennials. And now Gen Z is kind of going through things. And they're like, how did you deal with this anxiety? And we're like, we don't know. We didn't know that it was anxiety. We didn't have a name for it.
Yeah.
We just felt like we were drowning. And then now there's a name for it, which almost, I don't know. I think that's good and bad. I feel like people are trying to name things and like focusing on the name instead of focusing on just being present with where they are. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Definitely. It's like a double-edged sword.
Right?
Yeah. It is so weird because I remember, I have like a pretty distinct memory of the first time where I felt a good time, because I have like generalized anxiety disorder and depressive disorder. Like, you know, most of us do, I feel like, especially if we have chronic illness, like we struggle with these things. It's very human. But the first time I felt like panic and anxiety that couldn't be connected to something external, so therefore was like actual anxiety and panic, I was in like, I was in middle school, I think. I probably had more before that, but I have like a distinct memory of it being in middle school. And I felt, I was like, wow, I'm going crazy. There's no need for me to feel like this. I'm going absolutely crazy. And I feel like someone even that age now would have been like, oh, you mean you just had anxiety, or you were just having a panic attack. You know, I didn't even know what that was. And no one talked about it. My mom, like, bless her, love her. But yeah, it's definitely a generation of like, don't talk about it. I was having a moment, I think it was this week or last week, and I just started crying in front of her, and she just didn't know what to do. She was like, maybe you could go on a walk tomorrow and you'll feel better, which is not untrue, you know, but I was like, she did not know what to do. She just sort of stood there. Yeah. And I just, you know, like, it's just, it's interesting.
It is really interesting.
Difference.
And I'll be interested to see, like, what our children, like, that generation is, like, when they grow up. Because, right, like, as little tiny humans, you can't regulate your emotions. Like, you co-regulate with your parent. So, like, if your parent is emotionally unavailable or doesn't know how to deal with their emotions when you have a big blowout of emotions because you're three and you don't know what else to do when you're upset, like if they can't regulate, you can't regulate, right? And so we grew up now having to learn how to regulate when we're 30 instead of three. But I feel like because we have that knowledge, we're going to be able to teach it to our children, and they're going to be able to regulate so much better than we are. It'll be great.
Yeah, I hope. I mean, that's the goal, right?
That's,
I hope
the goal.
So I've always tried really hard to be like that with my son. I have a 10-year-old. Yeah, he's 10 now. Very upsetting. But he was medically diagnosed with similar issues as me a few years ago. And his doctor was my doctor, which is interesting. I think he just learned a lot throughout his practice about how much it affected kids, because he immediately was like, we need to get on top of this now. You know, when Balin was like 7. And I was kind of shocked, you know, but he, you know, I've taught him all the tools that I learned and that have helped me. A lot of them that I learned in my like endo journey with you, that I learned from you. And I feel like he's just really awesome at it, you know, at regulating himself. And he has like all of his little breathing techniques. He's got his little crystal collection. But he's just, he's really in tune with his emotions, and I'm proud of it. I love it about him in general. And then I just, you know, it's something that I'm proud of as a parent. But it's so funny because he has his breathing techniques, right, and everything, and he can, like, he's vocal about it. I can tell when he's doing it, or he knows immediately when I'm like, hey, why don't you do this breathing, try this or whatever. He knows what I'm talking about. And then my stepdad, he had to get an MRI, like a pretty extensive MRI a few weeks ago. And he has claustrophobia and he couldn't sit still. So they had to reschedule it. And they gave him like some medication to help him chill out or whatever. He was like describing it afterwards. He's like, yeah, you know, they gave me medicine, but I think I had to breathe in and out. Really deep breaths, like 80 times. Yeah, that was really relaxing. I'm like, oh, you mean you meditated for probably the first time in your whole life? Amazing how that works. Yeah, it was really relaxing, all that deep breathing. And I'm just like, oh my God. So you discovered meditation. Good job. the thing that your grandson already does all the time to help himself relax.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just thought it was so funny. He's like, yeah, all that like 80 deep breaths. Wow. It was so relaxing.
Wow. I feel way better.
Yeah. But that's like gives me a lot of hope, you know, for the future, for sure, for that like Gen Z generation and like the alpha, you know, the babies now, they're going to be a lot, I think they're going to be a lot more equipped, you know?
Definitely.
So,
and I think, honestly, like, I think that's a testament to like how much you've grown in the last 3-4 years, right? That Baylin is now, those are like his resources that he's going to, because that's how you're regulating, you know, and he's watching you do that. And he's like, oh, this helps my mom, so it'll help me. And it like gives him probably a little bit of reassurance too, and the confidence to do it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm hard on myself as a parent, like all parents are, I think, all decent parents are. But I am really proud of that. Like I'm proud of myself for being able to teach him that stuff. So what was it? I had something a few weeks ago that I was nervous about. He was like, here, take this. It was one of his little crystals. Take this with you. He's the best.
Mm-hmm. What are some of your favorite crystals for anxiety now that we're talking about it?
Yeah. So amethyst was like the first. That was what really got me into crystals, honestly. Like amethyst, because I was like, I guess I'll try this, you know? I guess I'll try it to help with my anxiety. And when it really helped, I just sort of dove in after that. But yeah, amethyst, if someone comes, because I work in a metaphysical shop a couple of days a week, in addition to all the podcast stuff. So when someone comes into the shop and asks about anxiety, I say amethyst, and howlite is another really good one. That one's a good one for sleep as well. Lapidolite is another really good one for anxiety. But yeah, I love all of that stuff. I feel like it's just a nice little cherry on top of my healing journey and my self-care. So
I know I love crystals too. And it like, they're beautiful, so they make me happy, right? Mm-hmm. And then just being able to like set an intention for something that I'm wanting, or like how I'm wanting to feel that day, and like put it into something like physical and then carry it around with me, has been like really powerful for me. And do you want to hear something really cute and funny?
Yes, please.
So I have a million crystals. Not a million, but I have a bunch, and like all the cute little ones that you sent me last year.
Yeah.
And so I have them like laid out in the bathroom, and I have like Eli hold them in his pockets during like sporting events as good luck.
That is so cute. So,
like now, because it worked like all of last year, like he was convinced that those crystals helped his team win.
Yes.
And so like this year he like goes and picks his crystal out before his games and like keeps it in his pocket.
That's adorable.
That's the cutest thing ever.
Yes.
Eli is my husband, for anybody that's wanting to know. I didn't already know.
That's so sweet. I love that. I see that in the shop a lot. Like people will come in, someone will be dragging their, you know, their husband or boyfriend or partner, whatever, in with them. And then the first time, and then a few times later, it's like, you know, they're pretty into it too, you know, or they come by themselves, or they'll come buy things for their partner. I'm like, yeah, when you bring someone into it, that's it. Like, because it works. So,
right. Well, and I mean, we're energetic beings. And so like setting an intention energetically for something, whether you're putting it in a crystal or a plant or whatever, herbs, salts, anything, you're going to help the reality of that come to fruition, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So I've taught a couple intro to crystal healing classes at the shop, and it's really basic info, but I try to talk a little bit about like the science part, you know, and of course, like about everything having energy, you know, and crystals can literally hold electricity, all of that sciencey stuff. But something that people really like latch on to is just what I learned from you about, you know, like rewiring your brain. And I kind of link that in when I talk about it, because I'm like, well, say you don't believe in any of the metaphysical scientific part of it. Say you just, you're like, whatever, that's not true. That's BS. Whatever. Say you don't believe in any of it. The whole retraining your brain thing is not something that you can argue with at all. Mm-hmm. And so if having your little rocks and putting your intentions into them helps you rewire a pathway in your brain that helps heal something traumatic or help your chronic pain or whatever, then how can you argue that it doesn't work? You know, right. Even if you don't believe all of the, either the scientific stuff or the woo-woo stuff, that's something that you can't argue with, you know?
Yeah.
That for whatever reason or reasons that you believe it works, it just does. It helps. It can really help.
Like that one of the Pirates of the Caribbean where she has like the jar of dirt. He was like, it's a jar of dirt. What's it gonna do? And she's like, well, if you don't want it, give it back. And he's like, oh no, I should probably keep it.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. But yeah, it's, I love it. And I actually, like when I was little, I loved rocks. I had like a rock collection when I was little, a little box of rocks. So I think for me too, getting into it was definitely like an inner child thing as well. It still is, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. You want to know, because I have, my mom kept everything from when I was a child. So I'm having to go mm-hmm. through all of it and see like what I want to keep and what I don't want to keep. And I found like a box of crystals. That I forgot that I had when I was a little kid.
Yes.
It's been added to my collection, but.
I love that. Yeah, I think Balin has a box of my old ones too, that he's just added his own stuff into.
Yeah.
It's cute.
It's so cute. And I mean, I feel like the same is true for like your healing journey in general, right? Like if yoga or meditation or, you know, setting intentions as crystals or whatever it is, breath work helps improve your quality of life a little bit. Like, isn't it worth it? Like, isn't that the point, is to like help you move forward in your healing journey, help you improve your quality of life a little bit, help you rewire your brain so you're less or more easily able to like go with the flow, you know?
Isn't yeah,
that the point?
That is the point, right? It's like, you can ask questions and look into it and be curious about how different things help you, which is great. But, you know, in the end, if it helps, like, who cares? Right?
Right.
Who cares how? If it's not hurting you and it's helping you, then who cares?
Right.
But I see all kinds of people in the shop. I think spirituality is like a part of life and healing that is really important and is up there in importance, but isn't as talked about, especially like in like the wellness kind of coachy diety kind of industry that I'm thinking of, you know, like it's to improve your life, you know, of course there's formulas that you can follow, but if you don't have that aspect of like being in touch with your individual spirituality, whatever it is, and it doesn't mean religious, you know, spirituality and religion, not the same thing. So if you're not a religious person, then that's completely fine. But if you don't have that sense of like connectedness to the world, the universe, you know, your community in some sort of or nature, you know, in some sort of spiritual way, I feel like it's hard to really heal if you don't have that little piece.
Yeah.
You know,
well, because healing is more than just the physical parts, you know, it's more than just like having the perfect diet or whatever, or moving your body X amount of times per week or eating so many calories or all of that crap. You know, it's also your emotional and spiritual health.
Yeah.
And like, I'm not religious, but I'm highly spiritual mm-hmm. and I believe in nature and spirit and energy and whatever, the unknown.
Yeah. And I think whatever you do believe in, like people in general, whatever you believe in, you have to believe in something, yeah. right?
Mm-hmm.
Because if not, then I don't see how you can heal if you don't if you don't believe in some sort of higher something or something bigger than yourself, you know, it's a really important part of spirituality, is a really important part of being a human that I think is just sort of mainstream pushed to the side.
Yeah, I agree. And it helps you create a bigger picture for your life.
Yeah.
Right. Or give you something to work towards or work for.
Exactly. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything that you're taking away from this year that you're going to take into next year? Whether it be in your healing journey with your life, your happiness.
It's been a learning year. It was a year that I just needed to really go through some stuff and learn some stuff.
Yeah, same.
And yeah, same for you for sure, yeah. And a lot of people around me went through heavy things this year too. It just seemed like, I don't know, it was a heavy year. So I just got diagnosed with ADHD last year. No, this year. It was this year. Yes. 2022. Yeah, it was this year. So that's been huge. While it was really validating, I feel like I sort of relearned things about myself or understood myself in a new way, even reflecting back upon like other things in my life. It's huge. It's still happening because it's still like a lot, but trying to approach like everyday life and like goals and work and parenting and everything in a way that feels better now that I know why I've had a hard time trying to do it quote unquote in the normal way. That's been huge. So I've learned a lot about myself and about just being neurodivergent like this year. I've learned a lot about that. I think I learned this year a lot of what I don't want in my life too, like relationship wise. I think I went into this year being like, I know exactly what I want in a romantic relationship. And then I guess I needed a couple more reminders. So I think I learned that this year too. And then like spiritually, like talking about spirituality and everything, I think I accepted this year more that it's okay to like kind of cherry pick what I believe in and like mesh it all together. And I think I kind of figured out that the reason that my ADHD is part of the reason why I've had trouble being like, why aren't you normal? Why don't you just want to do or be this one thing? Right. And my brain is like, because I don't want to. I want to be all these things, or I want, you know, I like all of these things. Yeah. So that's definitely something I learned this year, and applying it to spirituality. Like I've just learned more how to like put all of my like beliefs together and just sort of make my own system. And that makes me happy. So yeah, those are kind of broad answers, but
that's okay. I know we that's probably why we mesh so well, because I'm also neurospicy.
Neurospicy, yes, love that.
Which is why I'm sure if you're an avid listener of this show, you know that I can like talk in a million circles. We can go in all these different tangents. But it's just part of makes you who you are and makes you special in that way.
Yeah.
I know for me, this was like, we were just talking about spirituality, and that's what made me think of it, is like, this was such like a spiritual growth year for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I feel like, I don't know, I've just been in like my masculine energy for like the last 7 years or so, like trying to heal and like be perfect and do all of these things. And then I created my business and I was like, go, 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 go. And like your health is so important, but like, so is your spiritual health and being able to process emotions and move through grief. Like I'm still like in the midst of grief. And I think, even things that I like never really grieved in the past, like relationships that I ended and things like that, are all coming up to the surface. And I'm having to now process all of that because I have the tools to do so. It's just been a very enlightening year. and like what I do want to keep in my life and the kind of person that I want to be. And I know when I was like heavy in like binge drinking and all of that to try to cope with my endometriosis, I had to take like a good hard look in the mirror because I had like a dark night of the soul, it seemed like. And like, did I really like the person that I'm becoming? I feel like grief this year kind of made that happen again. Like, do I really like the kind of person I'm becoming? Am I being a good friend? Am I being a good wife? Am I being a good sister? You know, like, what is that? What does being a good, all of those things look like for me? What do I want it to look like moving forward? Because life can just be taken from you in an instant, or it can look like it's going one way and then all of a sudden it's not. So how am I making the most of my time here now? And how do I want to be moving forward? Like, who do I want to be to have the life that I want to have, or to do all the things that I want to do in this life while I'm still here, you know?
Yeah, that's beautiful.
It's been a very eye-opening year.
Yeah. It's interesting that you said you feel like you've been in like the more masculine like energy, because I mean, that's what it is. It's like the masculine energy is like the physical part of like doing, you know, and then the feminine part, of course, is like the feeling. So you need both. But if you get two into one or two into the other, then you can't function. Yeah. But yeah, that's really interesting. But you're, how are you doing now with the like, holidays coming up? You feel like you've kind of, you're saying earlier, you feel like you're getting back to yourself.
Yeah, I kind of am starting to feel like myself again. I don't know. I feel like it just comes in waves. I cry a lot, but that's okay.
Yeah.
I just like randomly cry at a lot of things these days, but that's okay. You know, and I mean, it's just allowing me to feel my feelings. And, you know, I can always like look back and wish that things could have been different, but they never will be. So how do I want to move forward? Like with all of these things, you know?
Right.
We're actually, I'm like working all of Christmas. So, because I work at the hospital still. So,
oh, really?
Getting in my masculine, I guess. And,
but that might, you know, that's not necessarily bad if you need a little bit more of a keep moving, you know?
Yeah. Like, right. And that's why it's like kind of good. I've been really good at staying busy this year, but also kind of like laying back and not doing anything except just being, you know?
Yeah. I did EMDR therapy this year, mm-hmm. which was pretty life-changing. And so, you know, my biological dad passed when I was 18. It's always traumatizing, but it was like just really rough and ugly. He had, you know, he was an alcoholic, he had cancer, he had cirrhosis, all that stuff. Didn't tell anyone that he was sick. So it was just really fast. And, you know, I'm 31 now. So, of course, it gets easier in the way just that you adapt, right?
Yeah.
But it's not like it goes away. But I think before I started EMDR, I'm like, oh, you know, I had that like, well, I'm over it, so it's fine. That's not what I need help with, you know? And then I was surprised in EMDR. It wasn't the same EMDR therapy as in person because we did it virtually. So it wasn't using a lot of like the eye movement thing. It was actually just her sort of making me close my eyes and like throwing me into a memory and like making me just talk through it and like describe everything. Just sort of really intense like trauma exposure therapy. And it was working with a lot of like really early memories, you know, trying to get to the root of things. And I was so surprised at how emotional I got about like stuff with my dad, because I had been to so much cognitive behavioral therapy and just like talked about it so much. And I'm so okay with talking about it, like open about all of it. You know, like I joke about stuff all the time, like, it, you know, like that I just wasn't expecting to get emotional during it. But when I got emotional, I'm told, I'm like, I thought I was, she's like, what do you mean? Like, you're never, you know, over it. And there was obviously some stuff that you still had to work through, you know, or had to talk about, or you didn't even realize was stuck in there, you know. Grief, it's like weird, and
it's very weird.
Yeah, it's weird, and it it pops in and out the way that it wants to, but, you know, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's like, it's so human, you know, part of like what we were talking about earlier of being shamed for like emotions and everything. I think it's the same with, I think it's just things that make people uncomfortable. Like grief makes people uncomfortable, right? Crying can make other people uncomfortable because it's like, it's not like this pretty perfect thing, but it's so human. Like everyone goes through grief. Everyone cries. Everyone loses people. Like shit happens to everybody. So it's just like, we would be so much better off if we just accept it, you know, accept it as it comes and just sort of accept it in each other too. Right. When my sister like was crying earlier, well, it's, you know, this is good. You're not crying by yourself in your room. You're out here with me and with Julie on FaceTime. Like that's the key. It's just not keeping it to yourself and thinking that you have to just push it away or bury it, you know. No, it's going to come and you have to feel it or else it's just going to fester, right?
Yeah. Well, and I think this kind of ties into everything we've talked about today, right? If you don't actually like feel your feelings and you just tamp it down because it's not this pretty perfect version of how you think grief should be, then it's going to manifest in other ways in your body. It's going to come out in other ways.
Yeah.
So you might as well feel the feelings now and process it because you're never going to be out of grief. That's something that I've realized, and it hasn't been that long, but like, you're never going to be out of grief. You know, I'm going to be a 90-year-old woman and still be sad that my mom died when I was 30.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I mean, my little brother had a baby this year, which is, you know, awesome. But like, it was, you know, when I met him, I was like super emotional and sad. Because, you know, it's sad that our dad isn't here, you know, which is like, it's never going to stop being sad.
Yeah.
You know,
for sure.
I think that's a huge takeaway from this year. It's just like emotions are emotions and everyone has them and they're not something to be ashamed about. And it only gets worse if you don't meet them head on.
I know. I feel like I've cried more this year than I have in my entire life because
yeah,
growing up, you know, it was like in that household where like emotions are scary and you don't want to like trigger somebody's anger. And so I used to just like hold everything in until I got into bed at night and then I would let everything out. It didn't matter. Like anything that happened to me that day, I would like not show any emotion until I got into bed. And then I was like doing that when my mom was passed, when I was helping mom die, like holding it all in at the hospital and then just like breaking down in bed.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, I think then this is a habit.
Wait a second. Yeah.
Yeah. And so now like I'm not holding it in anymore. You know, I'm just letting it go. Like if I'm in the middle of a conversation, I start crying, like that's okay. It's okay for me to cry. It's okay for me to be sad. It's okay for me to process the shit that I'm going through.
I think it's important too to have people you feel safe with being that way with, you know, like for some reason I'm like super, because I'm used to it because Baylen's 10 and I haven't been with his dad since he was like one. So I'm used to like trading off holidays, but I've been so emotional about him being gone for Christmas this year. And I was just having a normal conversation with Julie again about just talking, and then I'm like, and Baylen's gonna be gone this year, and it's just like waterworks. And she didn't even, you know, it wasn't like weirdness or like looking away or like it's shameful, like, oh yeah, you know, she's just like, oh yeah, cry, you know.
Yeah. It let sucks. It out.
It's sad. Yeah. So yeah, that's important too, having people you feel safe crying around, safe expressing your emotion to without them being like, ooh, you know,
and
scared
if
they
are
of it,
like, ooh, and it's somebody that you should feel safe around. Like, I mean, you can obviously talk to them about that and like figure out how to make that environment more safe for you guys to share your emotions.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's important. Like, why did that emotion make you react that way? Like, how are you good? You know, like, why?
Yeah, or is there like something I can do? Like,
yeah.
Do you need me to hold you? Come here.
Yeah, come here. Bring it in.
Yeah.
Bring it in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a year.
Yes.
I wonder how many people listening are like, wow, me too.
Me too. I bet you it's a lot.
Yeah.
I really do feel, I think I pay attention more now, you know, started healing and gotten so much better. And my life has changed a lot since, you know, when me and you first met. I pay attention more to like the collective, you know, of people, I think. And I just feel like it's just a lot of us right now. It's just so, I mean, the world and the country has been through a lot.
Give yourself grace.
Yeah. Give yourself grace. I think there's a lot of hope too, though, for the future. Yeah. I feel that. I hope most people feel that, even when it seems bleak at the moment. There's just still so many good things happening too.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you are listening to this and you're like, wow, I've had a year too, it just feels like one thing after the next is happening and I feel like I'm drowning. Like, what are a few things that you can do? Like, even if it's just looking around and being like, okay, well, what are good things that are going on right now? What's something good that's happening in my life? Like, I've been really coming back to my gratitude. I was very into it and like before the pandemic. And I've been obviously gotten kind of away from it and just like coming back to that gratitude. Like, what are some things in my life right now that I'm really grateful for that are happening, and really just grounding myself and bringing me back to the moment and what I'm happy for right now. Cause you know, I can think about the past and be sad. I can think about the future and be sad. But what is making me happy right now? Right. Cause happiness is a choice, right? Not always, right? I've definitely been in that place where I was really depressed and I was looking in the mirror and like not even recognizing myself and being like, and in those moments, I remember I was calling my mom and I was just FaceTiming her and I was like doing my makeup and doing my hair. And she was like, what are you doing? Are you going somewhere? And I'm like, no, I'm just trying to like, you know, look happy, feel happy. I'm trying to do something that's going to make me happy. And I don't know what that is right now, but I'm trying to do things.
Yeah.
And I ended up that I needed to just go hiking and travel and be crazy, I guess.
Yeah.
Because that helped.
Yeah.
But.
Well, do whatever you have to, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, as if you're not hurting anyone else and you're not hurting yourself, then whatever it is that makes you happy, whatever it is that makes you feel better. Yeah. Whatever it is that helps you feel connected and happy and safe and all of that, like, do it.
Yeah.
Do it.
Because why not?
Yeah.
Like, life is so short. Why not do all the things that make you happy, even when you're feeling like a piece of shit?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or not yourself, or not in your body, or you're dissociating, or whatever it is. Like, what did you used to like to do? Right? Can you do more of that? Can you go get out in nature? What are some things that you wish you could do? Why can't you do those, even in a smaller scale, right? Even if it's just going and laying in the grass in the front yard.
Yeah.
Ground yourself a little bit.
One of the things that my EMDR therapist had me do this year, she made me keep a journal that was like just happy things. Mm. And she was like, you don't have to write in it, just like if you want to draw or whatever. So I got into like this really, it was probably a little bit of like ADHD hyperfixation, but it's okay because it made me happy. Like stickers.
Mm.
So like sometimes I wouldn't even want to write in it. I would just like fill an entire page just with stickers. Or I would like just doodle in it or whatever, or like write lyrics or something in it. If you look through it now, it's like, wow, this looks like I'm, you know, middle schooler or something. Well, it made me really happy. And I still do it sometimes too. And it just, well, it made me happy. So like, who cares?
Yeah, why not?
Who cares? Yeah.
Right? Because you're the only one judging you. Nobody else gives a shit. Everybody else is too worried about themselves being judged.
Yeah. And if someone does judge you, that's probably just more of a
reflection of who
projecting.
They are.
Yeah, they're probably just projecting.
Yep.
Do what makes you happy.
Yeah, I love that for you. All of your Harry Styles stickers.
Yes, do love fairy sets. You like doing stuff like that too, right? You like crafty and all that.
Oh yeah.
Did that help you this year?
No, I didn't do any of that this year.
not this year.
No, I was like more getting outside, like physically putting myself in nature. And I actually stopped, like I stopped writing. I stopped doing all my like creative stuff. So that's like on my list of things that I want to get back into doing. Right.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, well, and I know for a fact that journaling is going to help me process a lot of the emotions, but I feel like I've been avoiding it because those are a lot of emotions and I've just been,
it's hard,
like already bubbling up to the top with things. But that's, on my list of things that I'm going to do this year is like start journaling and start writing more because it really makes me happy and helps me, I don't know, just get shit out of my head and feel better.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, nature too, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Nature is so healing. You have a beautiful...
Crazy, yeah.
Yeah, oh my gosh, it looks like a postcard in the background.
We bought 6 acres, so like we got all this land I can go like explore, and then also the mountains that we live in, so
amazing.
It's just easier to like go physically get out of the house and just be, you know.
Yeah, that's what it takes a lot of the time.
What are some things that you're going to do this next year that are going to make you happy?
I think towards the end of this year I really like shoulded, you know, on myself a lot. I think I just hit a wall, and when you hit a wall, sometimes you just revert. So I was like, oh, I need to get a normal like 9-to-5 job again or something, because I just went the opposite of crazy. I went like, you know, reverting to like my old stuff that made me sick in the first place. It took me so long to like find myself and realize, or, you know, I'm still finding myself, obviously, but to realize that it was okay if my life looked really different than other people around me, and that it's okay if it always looks different, you know, and to just keep moving and keep figuring it out. I think being present too is something that I really need to take into next year. Take more pictures. I love pictures, and I tried to do like a thing every month where I posted like pictures throughout the month. Or from the month.
Yeah.
And at the end of the month, it was really fun. But at the end of the month, sometimes I'd be like, I didn't take enough pictures this month. You know, I didn't take enough pictures of like things that made me happy or like things around me. And just being creative too always just makes me happy. And I let myself forget it a lot. So yeah, I think I'm just going to be nicer to myself.
Yeah.
And, yeah. All the good stuff that I like already know, but I just need to practice a little harder.
know.
You know?
Yeah, I feel that.
Yeah. What about you?
Yeah, this year, I mean, creativity is like one of my big things this year because I was just so in the feels this year, I guess, that like I stopped taking pictures and I stopped drawing and painting and writing and doing all of the things that I really enjoy doing. So creativity is really on the forefront of my mind this year, I think.
Love that.
Just being more present too, and connecting more to people than my life that I love, that I know I can go a long time without talking to, and it'll still, our relationship won't hinder, but then I go forever without talking to them because you know, life just gets busy. So like connecting to people, I guess, is also connection and creativity. 2023.
I love it. I love that. That's perfect.
Yeah. And if you're listening to this, like, I think one of the big takeaways would be like, your healing journey doesn't have to be linear. There's going to be a lot of ups and downs and winds and turns, and like things are probably never going to look like how you think they should look. That doesn't mean that you're not still healing and you're not still moving forward.
Yes, exactly. And emotions are normal and human, and there's no right or wrong way to learn and heal and move forward. And everything's going to be okay.
Everything's going to be okay.
Yeah.
Do more of what makes you happy and feel the feels.
Feel all the feels. Yep. Yeah, work through your emotions, be in them. Don't be afraid of them. Love your people. Connection and creativity. I love it.
Yes. And we love you.
Yes, we love you all. Yeah, and I love you.
Yeah, I love you, Jordan.
I love you.
Yeah, come hang out with us if you are wanting to be part of. We have like a little podcast group on Instagram. So if you would like to reach out, we'll put you in there. We also have the Facebook group that we're being more active in. So go ahead and ask questions in there and we can hop in there and chat too. Oh, I love you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
Oh, babe, thank you so much for taking the time to listen today. I had so much fun and I'm so fucking grateful for every single one of you. If you thought that this was helpful or you loved any part of this podcast, I would love, love, love for you to screenshot it and post it on Instagram at Chelsea Bree, ChelseaAaBri, and tag me. I would love to see what you're getting out of the episodes. It makes me so happy. I would also love it if you'd subscribe to the podcast and leave a review, because that just helps other wonderful endopapes find me as well. I adore you, and I believe that you don't deserve to feel like shit. You deserve to have a normal life despite endometriosis. So I love you so much, and I hope you have a wonderful day, and I'll catch you on next week's episode of the Endopape Podcast.